Antonio B., Buried Alive, The Law of Talion. Antonio B. was a talented writer, esteemed by his fellow citizens. He lived in Lombardia, fulfilled a civil servant position with distinction and integrity. Around 1850, he fell victim to a condition of apparent death as the result of an apoplectic attack. As sometimes happens, it was unfortunately mistaken for real death. It was easy to make such a mistake because signs of decomposition seemed obvious on the body. 15 days after his burial, a fortuitous incident led the family to request an exhumation. It so happened that a medallion had been inadvertently left in the coffin. The assistants were terribly shocked when, upon opening the coffin, they saw that the body had changed position, that it had turned faced downward, and, horrible thing, that one of the hands had been partially gnawed on by the deceased. It was obvious that the unfortunate Antonio B. had been buried alive and that he must have succumbed to desperation and hunger. Antonio B. was evoked in August of 1861 at the Parisian Society at the request of one of his relatives and gave the following explanation. Evocation.
What do you want?
One of your relatives has asked us to evoke you. We would appreciate it if you could answer us.
Yes, I will answer you.
Do you remember the circumstances of your death?
Ah, of course, I remember. But why awaken that memory of punishment?
Is it correct that you were buried alive by mistake?
That is the way it must have been, since apparent death displays all the characteristics of real death. I had lost nearly all my blood. But no one is to blame for an incident foreseen before my birth.
If such questions are prone to cause you sadness, should we stop?
No, you may continue.
We would like to know if you are happy, for you left behind the reputation of an honest man.
Thank you very much. I know that you have prayed for me. I will try to answer, but if I fail, one of your guides will help me out.
Could you describe the sensations you experienced during that horrible moment?
Oh, what a grievous trial. Feeling yourself confined between four boards and not being able to turn around or move. Not being able to scream, your voice no longer able to resound in an environment deprived of air. Oh, what torture is that of a misfortunate being who vainly struggles to breathe in an atmosphere depleted of air. Alas, I was like someone condemned to a furnace, only without the heat. Oh, I wish such tortures on no one. No, I wish on no one an end like mine. Alas, cruel punishment for a cruel and brutal existence. Don't ask me what I thought, but I plunged into the past and caught a vague glimpse of the future.
You said, cruel punishment for a brutal existence. However, your reputation, intact even today, would not lead anyone to assume such a thing. Could you explain it to us?
What is the duration of one lifetime in light of eternity? Of course, I sought to act rightly during my last incarnation, but I had accepted such an epilogue before I re-entered humanity. Why question me about the grievous past, which only I and the good spirits sent by the Lord know about? Well, if you must know, I walled up a woman, my wife, alive in a cellar. It is the penalty of Talion to which I had to submit, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth.
We thank you for having been willing to answer our questions, and we pray for God to forgive your past because of the merit of your last existence.
I will return later. Besides, the spirit of Erastus wishes to complete this communication.
Instructions by the medium's guide. What you may infer from this communication is that all your existences are interrelated and that none are independent of any of the others. The concerns, the tribulations, as well as the great sufferings that afflict humans are always the consequences of a previous criminal or ill-employed life. Nonetheless, I must tell you that deaths such as Antonio B.'s are rare, and that if man's blameless latest existence ended in such a death, it was because he himself had asked for it with the aim of shortening his errant state and more quickly reach the higher spheres. In fact, after a period of trouble and mental suffering to further expiate his heinous crime, he will be forgiven and will go to a better world where we will find his victim, who awaits him, and who already forgave him long ago. Thus, learn well from this cruel example, my dear Spiritists, so that you may patiently bear mental and physical suffering and all the earth's little miseries. What advantage can humankind gain from such punishments? Punishments do not occur in order to develop humankind, but to punish the guilty individual. Frankly, humankind as a whole has no interest in the suffering of one of its members. In this case, the punishment fit the wrong. Why are there insane, mentally impaired, and paralytic individuals? Why do some die by fire? Why do some suffer the tortures of a long agony, unable to live or die? Ah, believe me, respect the sovereign will and try not to probe the reason behind the decrees of Providence. Know that God is just and does only what is good. Erastus. And then Kardec adds, doesn't this example contain a great and awesome teaching? Thus, God's justice always reaches the guilty, and although it may arrive late sometimes, it does not fail to follow its course nonetheless. Isn't it eminently moral to realize that if greater guilty individuals live their existence peacefully, and often in abundance of earthly assets, their hour of expiation will nevertheless sound sooner or later? Punishments of this nature are understandable, not only because we can witness them somehow, but also because they are logical. We believe in them because our reason accepts them. Thus, an honorable existence does not exclude the trials of life, since one has chosen or accepted them as a supplement to expiation. It is the remaining balance on a debt that we pay before we receive the award for the progress we have accomplished. If we consider how frequent acts of barbarity were in days gone by, but which shock us so much nowadays, even among the highest and most enlightened classes, how many murders were committed in those times when the lives of others were disregarded and when the weak were unscrupulously crushed by the powerful? Then one will understand that among our contemporaries, there must be those who have cleansed their path. One will no longer wonder at the considerable number of persons who succumb as victims of isolated accidents or general catastrophes. The despotism, fanaticism, ignorance, and prejudices of the Middle Ages and of the times that follow bequeathed to future generations an immense debt that has not yet been liquidated. Many examples of misfortune seem to us to be undeserved, solely because we can only see the present.